So before we begin, I'd like to pray about this because this is, I would say, out of my expertise, all right? So I come with you with a story, and mine's more so, coming alongside people who have been depressed. So I can't really just relate, but I think what I can do is to be able to reveal scripture. I can also tell you what it's been like to be able to help someone who has been struggling with depression and anxiety. And maybe you can be a part of this conversation tonight if you want to be able to share whatever it may be. My hope is that we can be able to do this and be able to strengthen and support one another. So let's pray and we will begin. Father, this is something that probably strikes home for a lot of us. And where we have said, you know, what's the matter and why am I feeling this way? And we know that we don't necessarily want to maybe feel stressed or anxious or feeling depressed. But Lord, may we have a healthy conversation about this tonight. This is not something that's taboo, but it's something that's important and something that we can address as we continue to share your love and grace to all people. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay. So before I begin, let's have a conversation first. With the people around you, maybe why don't we talk about what do you know about depression and anxiety? All right, so be mindful. There could be people that have experienced it, know that a lot. There could be someone in here that said, hey, I don't know anything really about it whatsoever. So maybe share, like, what are your thoughts about depression and anxiety and stress, and share with the people around you. We're going to just talk about this briefly for about 2 to 3 minutes. Okay, go ahead and do that right now. Okay, so maybe you have a wide range of people that have an understanding about depression. Maybe everyone gets it, understands it. Maybe you have people in your group that have been experiencing it and will continue to experience that. Or maybe it's just something that you never thought of before. And there's even the possibility and that you do struggle with depression, and you may not even know that. So that is a very real thing as well. It is known that our generation, and yes, I am a part of your generation, I'm going to hold on to it as long as I can, that we are a very anxious generation, all right? Some things that it's known about us is we do not want to fail. So if failure is about to happen, that causes a lot of stress for us, and we probably haven't been put in a place to fail well. And that's another cause of anxiety. We also know that a lot of us, and it's that a lot of people are in counseling, seeing a counselor, whoever it may be, seeing it maybe a pastor, to deal with this stress and anxiety more than ever before. Like, we are in conversations with CAPS over at FGCU, and just so many students are flooding in because there's just so much that they're struggling with, that they're dealing with, and they can't even take everyone all at once. So we know that our generation is very stressed, all right? And so maybe you are going to be able to relate to this maybe a little bit, or maybe you are dealing with this, or maybe you can help a friend walk through their stress, anxiety, depression, and learn a little bit more tonight. Okay. Again, and also I want to be able to share biblical truth to go along with that. You know, what does God say? What are some myths that are out there? So the first point that I wanted to be able to make is depression isn't what the church sometimes makes it out to be. All right. And what I mean by that is when, for instance, there, and this is true, that there are some people that will go to a pastor or maybe someone specifically in a church and saying, hey, you know, I think I'm depressed and whatever the struggle, whatever the anxiousness may be, right? And there is actually a comment that some people have said that, well, maybe if you pray hard enough, it will just go away. You know, maybe there's something that God's really trying to teach you, which, I mean, God's always teaching us something. We talked about that even in the midst of hurricanes, turmoil. Like, he's always going to be, but like, you're going through this so that you will learn, okay? That is a myth, all right? And people have struggled with this. So first of all, depression and anxiety, it's not a character or spiritual defect, all right? It's not like you have something terribly wrong with you and if you pray hard enough, it will go away, all right? It's not something like, you know, if you were a better person, it's like those are some of the myths that are out there. There's nothing in the Bible that says that and you will be relieved from your depression, okay? The other thing is too, it's not a choice. That's like telling someone, stop bleeding when the wound is open. Like, I don't think anyone who is depressed, and maybe you have dealt with this type of stress or anxiety, wants to continue to be depressed. Like, no one wants to feel that way that I know of, all right? And some people in churches, they said, well, if you just, you know, snap out of it, you know, everything's going to be better. If you don't, say you're saying, hey, I'm really get overwhelmed when this particular thing happens. And if I were to tell you, like, well, just don't think about it anymore. You know, it's your choice to get overwhelmed. Like, that's not cool. All right. And so if someone is sharing something that's so personal, that's something that is a burden, that they feel very overwhelmed and they feel stressed, and I were to say, well, just don't do that anymore. Like, that is not going to work. All right. Second point that I wanted to be able to make tonight is mental illness is not a sin. Because if you struggle with depression or with anxiety or just like the overwhelming thing of stress, okay, that does not mean it's not a sin. Now, I get it. Like, some people who have struggled with depression, it may lead to other things. And it's really interesting, whatever those things may be. It's funny, like, we can like pinpoint some of those things. Well, oh my gosh, like, do you see how much weed that guy's smoking? You know, like, yeah, like, obviously, maybe it's not great to be able to put some sort of substance in your mind, or maybe it's not great just to like get completely intoxicated, you know? Like, I get those things, but if we look at the root of the problem, instead of focusing on the things that are going on in their life, or, you know, like, I know people that have talked to me and they said, you know, I struggle with cutting, you know? And it's not like, well, it's like, no, like, what is really the root of all of that? You know, we know that our body is a temple, but the real root of it is this darkness and this depression. And just because you struggle with that does not mean that it's like this sin that you're living in, okay? I realize that there's some things that happen from that, but like, let's just look at the root of the problem and not just look at the individual things that the person might be struggling with, okay? So a couple things as I was kind of going off on a tangent. Viewing depression as a sin, previous people receiving treatment. So you, viewing depression as a sin prevents people from receiving treatment. And the second one, many Christians may not respond to depression in Many Christians may respond to depression in unhealthy ways if the root cause is ignored or misunderstood. So let me explain that. Like, if we make this subject so taboo and so like, I don't know, like where we can't really properly address it, we see a lot of people that are just going to continue to hide their stress, their anxiety, and their depression. And they feel like they have to put on a show. They have to be happy all the time. I know pastors, I know worship leaders, I know people that feel like they can't talk about this because it's just, you know, if they talk about it, then people are going to wonder about other things, okay? The third point I want to make, the Bible doesn't provide any easy answers, all right? Here's what I mean. You know the Bible verse in Philippians 4, it says this, do not be anxious about anything. So what if I were to tell you that do not be anxious about anything? Like, what is that saying right there? Don't be stressed. Don't be Don't be depressed. Like, that's not what Scripture is saying. A lot of times, people are going to take Scripture out of context, okay? And we're not reading the whole Scripture. This is what I mean. This is what the verse continues to say. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right? It's good to be able to bring your burdens to the Lord. All right? It's good to be able to say, hey, God, I'm really struggling with this, right? I really don't understand why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. But I have actually heard pastors and people before saying, hey, it's just flip a switch. Don't be anxious. Don't be depressed. You got to be able to read the whole Scripture, what's going on. Okay? So just that's another important thing. The fourth one, anxiety and depression don't look how we often think. All right? Again, here's the deal. There's people out there that may struggle with this. And once they, like, let's just say they kind of come out and share that they're depressed. And people, like, I've done this before too, all right? I'm just like, I just never knew. You were always such a happy person. You were always the one telling the jokes. Like, you were the life of the party. How can someone like you, who has the life, be struggling with depression, all right? And I have seriously thought that before, okay? And here's the reason why, all right? So, Kyrie, at one point, revealed to me that she was struggling with depression, all right? And again, like I said, I don't think I've ever really experienced it, but it hit home to me when my wife told me, hey, I'm depressed and this is what I'm thinking about doing. And before I say anything, I would like Kyrie to come up here and share a little bit about her story, about her being depressed and anxious. So, Kyrie.
Like Phil was saying, a lot of times there's a lot of shame and guilt that is associated with being depressed, especially if you think of somebody kind of in my position where I'm in leadership at church and I'm like mentoring people and all that good stuff. You know, who am I to be someone in that position of depression and dealing with severe depression and anxiety? And so one of the reasons why I think it's so important, especially if you are someone who has experienced that and you're kind of on the other side of that, it's so huge to use your story to glorify God and to bring other people alongside of you that are in it right now when you're on the other side of it. And I've been so blessed by different conversations that I've had with people that are struggling. And like Phil was saying, it's really hard to understand and come alongside someone who's going through that when you have never been through it yourself. It's really hard to understand the thought processes and the darkness. But when you find somebody who has been through that and they say, yeah, I was thinking like this or this happened, and for someone to be like, yep. Like, that's so comforting and so awesome. And so I encourage you, if you are on the other side of depression, to use your story and not let the enemy tell you that you should be ashamed or feel guilty of that. And so just real quick, I want to be a little detailed with a couple things about my story, mostly just because if there is anybody in this room that is struggling with this, I want you to know that what you're thinking or what you're going through isn't weird or crazy or abnormal. And also, if you know someone that you love that's thinking or feeling or expressing these things to you, that's not abnormal. And so for me, when we first moved down here to Florida about 4 years ago, I really struggled with the move, more so than Phil did. And a couple months into our move, I started like kind of my first official social work job. I had studied for this and worked hard for it. And it wasn't long until I realized that the environment that I was in was really negative and icky and gross. And it wasn't my clients and their situations. I was full of joy to come alongside them in that, but it was more so those I was around that was doing what I was doing. And it was just really unrealistic expectations. And I saw myself failing, and I saw my identity being attacked. And there's a lot of things that I believed about myself, that I was unworthy, that I wasn't enough, that something I'd worked so hard to achieve, I wasn't successful at it. And it's like, now what am I going to do? Who am I? 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 And I was in a really dark place, and I saw myself walking further and further in. And one of my clients that I was working with, she's 17, and she had a lot of suicidal ideations or attempts. And so every other day, I was going out to pick her up from this hospital or this clinic because of different suicide attempts. And I remember one time coming home and thinking to myself, if she feels anything like I do, I understand why she's doing what she's doing. And that was kind of the first time for me where I was like, whoa, I totally just thought that. And then kind of just quickly hit it and dug it back deep inside. And I think Phil definitely knew that there was something wrong, but I didn't really express fully, mostly because for me, I thought, okay, I help people in this situation, so I can like totally help myself. And so pat on the back, I'll get through it, I got this. And just totally didn't. And I stopped doing things I really loved. I stopped working out, being outside, being with people. I isolated myself. I started gaining weight, eating like all the pizza and just everything. Like it was just one thing after another, a huge part of it, isolating myself. And the breaking point for me, and again, what I want to describe in detail so that if you have had these thoughts, you do not think that it's abnormal. And I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable for me to share this. I'm not in a place where it makes me uncomfortable because I want to use this for good. There was one weekend where Phil was away at a conference, and I was sleeping, and I was in the house by myself, which is always kind of freaky anyways. But I was sleeping, and I woke up in like a dead sleep in the middle of the night. It was like 3 a.m, and I pictured myself getting up out of bed and walking to our garage, and I have weights in there, and I picked up a 50-pound weight and a rope, and I went out to our lanai, and we have a pool on our lanai, and I sat down like on the end of the pool, and I tied one part of the rope to the weight and another part of the rope to me and just pushed the weight in, and I drowned. And I remember in that moment just feeling like really heavy presence. And for me personally, I very much felt like that was the enemy attacking me in that moment. And I just remember praying and asking God to just protect me and help me fall back asleep. And like that, I just remember, I don't remember falling back asleep, I just did. And it was the next day that I realized I really need to talk to somebody about this, because I didn't say anything before then because I thought I would just snap out of it, that eventually I would just pray hard enough or God would, you know, cast all this away. And I finally told Phil, and that was hard to tell somebody you love so much that, hey, I want to kill myself because I feel this way. And Phil cried, and it was just a lot of just a lot going on at that time. And that was the first time that I decided to go and talk to somebody. I saw a licensed clinical social worker, and I met with her maybe a handful of times, 6 or 8 times, but that like was a game changer to have somebody outside of like my head to tell me things in very black and white, kind of helping me sort through all my feelings and be very unbiased about it. And that was huge. And so I definitely encourage you to utilize that. But long story short, my God is good. And I know that I overcome anything by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I'm super pumped to like be on the other side of that. My heart really aches, and I have a lot of righteous anger towards the enemy for people who are experiencing those things. And so I just want you to know, if you are in that or you know somebody who you love so much that's in that, please, like, come to me. No question is too personal. No question is asking too much. I really feel like my story has given me authority to speak into those things. And so I would love to come alongside you in that. And if you have any questions for me, I don't know if we have time, I can answer them now or after. You can definitely ask me too. But thank you for listening to just this little snippet of my story. And yeah.
It's something that we really feel that needs to be addressed, and it's real stuff, you know, and it happens to real people, you know, and it's as much as, you know, she's telling you this story, we're living this story out together, and it's still important for us to be able to talk about it and to share it and to be able to validate other people that might be walking in this similar situation. If we were to look into Scripture and address this issue, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, he is writing this particular letter to a church. We know that he was struggling with something. All right, he was really struggling. He even kind of mentioned that he was having these dreams and revelations. And I don't know if you were paying attention to the video, but it said people who struggle with depression often dream a lot. So maybe that is something for you to be aware of. And so certainly Paul is sharing with us and the church in Corinth that, yeah, he was experiencing these dreams and revelations, and he was going through something that was very difficult. And he said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, so there was also some good things as well, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, this is Jesus, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Okay? Listen, like something was said where we don't just normally go around and start telling people that this particular situation and instance happened, right?
I think I'm curious, and I was depressed once.
Yes, like it never starts off that way. If you meet Kyrie, it's usually very warm, very happy, you know, like there's a reason why I married her. Like she's awesome, you know, like that's truly what I believe and know from the bottom of my heart. But yet she just revealed something to you that was like pretty graphic and pretty hard. And maybe that's something that you can relate to. Or maybe you're like me and you're just like freaking out. I'm like, I don't know what to do. You know, like, how can someone, like, is it me? Did I not make her happy enough? Like, am I not a good husband? Like what's going on? You know, and the thing is right here, we're expressing to you because like we do this life thing together. Like, man, like she's my best friend. She's my teammate. I think you've seen that already. And like this hardship and this story, like it definitely took a toll. But yet like Paul is telling us in this letter right here, when Jesus is talking to him and saying, hey, my grace, my forgiveness is so overwhelmingly good enough for you, and the power of Jesus is going to be even made perfect, even in the midst of our brokenness and our weaknesses, like I'm going to do something incredible through that. And I can honestly say that there has been so much good that has come from something that was so specific and so graphic and so like, it was just such a struggle. And like, we can be able to stand here to say like, Jesus is greater even in the midst of stress, anxiety, and depression. Now, would you say it's not like all of this goes poof, gone away, right? Like, a lot of this stuff is very real and going to be very present. And I would be lying to you that like we had like this stressful, anxious moment before we came here, right? And I was like, you know, we're getting ready for Thrive stuff, right? And you know, it's like, hey, how's your day? Good. How was your day? Because we barely saw each other because we were working and doing stuff. And I was like, okay, make sure you do this. She's like, what? Like, she's like, you know, like, we were like totally freaking out with one another. And like, there was like that anxiousness of like all the stuff that's going on. And it started to like consume us. And so it's like this kind of stuff it's probably going to be present. All right. But here's the deal. And what I love, what Paul says right here is he says that he's going to be able to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. All right. This is the kind of stuff that they don't talk about in counseling because, you know, they have to be, you know, open-ended, you know, and just because what I'm saying right here is when we're able to have a conversation about this, if you're able to, and maybe you're not going to be ready right away, and I get that, but if you're able to say, hey, like, this is my story and this is my struggle, but I'm going to boast about this because I know what Jesus is going to continue to do and how he's going to work through me. And I wish, and honestly, this we have no idea what he's struggling with. There's a lot of different things out there. They're saying what Paul's struggling with. I mean, it could honestly be something like depression. I'm pretty sure that it's there, and it, you know, and it's like it's like very present, and he can feel it, and it's very painful. And I think stress and anxiety is very real. It's like it's keep tugging at you, and you're just like, I don't want this anymore. But what would it look like? What would it look like if we would just talk about some of these things? Where you can be like, man, I just heard Kyrie's story. And it's okay that I share some of these things to a friend or a loved one. Because ultimately, even though we're expressing those things, even though it may feel like so deep and we feel so wounded, ultimately, we're going to be able to give all glory to Christ, and we're going to be able to boast him, whatever the weakness may be, whatever the insults may be, whatever the hardships or the persecutions or whatever the calamities may be. Because even when we are weak, even when we are going through whatever the struggle may be, we are still strong in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, there was a question texted to me, so thank you. I think at this point we can open up a little bit more for questions. So if you want to keep them coming, that's fine. Or if you want to say something out loud, that's fine. Someone texts, say your cause for depression was a person, a divorced parent. What are your thoughts on approaching them years later? I think the approach, and you can chime in whenever you want as well. It's going to be important to be able to share that hurt, okay? It's going to be able to share to that person how maybe the situation has affected you. They may not appreciate hearing that from you. Maybe, let's just say if that's the parent, but it ultimately needs to be said probably for your own sanity. I think it's important that you still have that conversation. Okay. I don't think it may be intimidating. You may already know what they're probably going to say because you probably have tried to hint towards that before, but then they kind of gave you some backlash and then you're like, ooh, I'm not going to go there anymore. But ultimately it's going to be good for you to be able to say that. It's because again, a lot of people, and even people in churches, are going to say, you know, just slap a smile on that face. God is good, right? You know, and you're just like, yeah, But, you know, it's just like, we have to be real. We have to have some of these conversations. It's important. I don't know. You have anything to say?
And just keep in mind, too, if some feelings that you have, especially if it's depression or anxiety, that you feel are caused by someone else's choices or actions, you have to understand and be truthful with yourself that that person is not going to be your place for healing. That person could say, I'm so sorry, you're totally right, I'm going to be the best person ever now in that situation, whatever it may be. At the end of the day, them maybe changing that or confessing that isn't necessarily going to change what's going on for you, inside of you, and that healing needs to come from somewhere else. I mean, ultimately, that healing's going to come from Jesus and you working through that. Just a real quick kind of analogy with that, I went to, in South Africa, I worked at a home for youth, and we took the kids who were in our substance abuse program to a camp retreat for a weekend, and the counselor was talking about somebody who you are harboring something against. So for me, I thought of my dad in that instance because my parents are divorced and he wasn't like, you know, the A-plus dad. And he said, you know, think of that person as you are holding, you know, this quarter against their back. And wherever they go, you go, and you can't let that quarter drop. And that quarter is that thing that you're holding against that person. And what he was trying to say through that is that thing that you're holding against them, where they go, what they do, who they talk to, you're there. And that person's life dictates you, because you're always holding this thing against them, and their choices are dictating your choices and how you feel. And some of you might be able to resonate with that. And again, I thought of my dad and thought, wow, yeah, that totally resonates with what I was feeling. And the second that you pull your thumb away and you let that drop, you're free. And you don't have to hold that against that person anymore. And you're free to feel and choose for yourself and not have those things dictate on that person. So again, your healing comes from you and within you, not necessarily from another person. And because that person, guess what, is probably broken. And they're a sinner too. And they have stuff going on that you might not be able to totally understand. And unfortunately, probably that brokenness has caused you pain too. But grace is real and it's big and it's for everyone. And so, yeah.
This is a good one. And I think you can probably answer this best, and I can probably fill in the blanks. But how do I explain to friends that this is not something you just get over?
This isn't like a really super nice answer, but people who haven't experienced depression or severe anxiety before, when they say like choose happiness, choose joy, snap out of it, like, well, it's your choice to feel that way. When you explain to them your feelings and your thought processes, they're probably not going to understand. And so, definitely don't isolate yourself from those conversations, but don't let someone else's misunderstanding of your feelings have you go deeper into that darkness. I know that's really hard. Like, it was so frustrating to have the person in the whole world who knows me best have absolutely no idea what I was feeling and thinking and going through. But I continue to try to have those conversations and try to help them understand. And so, again, just encourage you, if they don't understand right away, don't close off those conversations, don't isolate yourself, but just try to continue to help them to understand. And it might take a while. But isolation is probably the biggest thing that's used against someone who is depressed, because the more you isolate yourself, the deeper you go into that. So hopefully that answers that.
I loved what, when we were walking through this, and we continue to do this to this day, Kyrie will inform me, you know, when she's feeling overwhelmed or anxious, that she says, hey, at this very moment, this is how I feel right now. And I want you to know that. And it was just like, okay, so I don't need to like instantly go like, well, why do you feel that way? Like, you know, like, well, you know, I don't even need to ask questions. It's more so, hey, thank you for sharing that, you know, and Let me know if there's any way that I can listen, or if there's anything that I can, and you know, if you want to talk about it, like, I'm here.
And a lot of times too, would try to solve my problems, and which, thank you, but in that moment, I don't need you to solve my problems. I need you to just listen to me and validate my feelings, and maybe share with those people, like, hey, like, this is the best way you can come alongside me, because maybe the way they're trying to is hurting you more than it's helping you, and they have no idea. They're like, oh, like, pat on the back, I totally just helped my BFF for life, but really you didn't. And so you need to, you know, explain to people, this is the best way you can help me, and maybe that'll help. Because telling people, or telling Phil not to solve my problems, but just say, wow, that sucks. That sounds like it really hurt. Help me way more.
It has made me a better listener. And just instead of, again, I want to fix the problem all the time. Like, okay, here's the situation. This is how we're going to get it done. And that's just not how it works. Okay. I was a really bad listener, and sometimes I've even still struggle with listening. And you know, if you're someone who is, I'm helping someone who's depressed, it's really helpful if you look them in the eye and she says something and, you know, you validate the response. Guys, this is really important, all right? Relationship 101. Like, show them that you are in the conversation. I struggle with that, everyone knows, but it's important that when that conversation is being had, that I'm showing that, wow, I hear your pain, I hear your frustration. I'm present and here with you. Not, this is what we need to do. Okay. So,
I think for time's sake, we might want
to. Yes. For time's sake, we're going to need to get out of here, because we're approaching 9:30. A lot of you are going to need to leave. I know there's tests, there's projects, you know, there's like school life happening. But if you want to sit around and talk about some of this, I think it's very appropriate. If you have any more personal questions, let's talk about it. If you've never revealed whatever, maybe what you're experiencing, and you feel that there's a person who is a safe person to talk about that, address the issue, whether that would be Kyrie, myself, or a friend, you know. And again, you may not always get the response you would like to hear, but like, that is going to help you move forward. Again, we're looking at the overall story, all right? And, you know, Kyrie mentioned it before, you know, at the very end of the book of the Bible, when they're talking about defeating Satan himself, it was by the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and the word of your testimony, your story. And that includes your weaknesses, where you're going to be able to boast about, you know, what does make you feel the way that you do, you know, even in the midst of your anxiousness or your hardship. So that way we can continue to be able to reveal to people that, hey, this is what God does, you know. He forgives, he loves. There's still going to be the struggle, there's still going to be the tension, but I'm going to, even in the midst of my brokenness, in the midst of my hurt, in the midst of my depression, going to be able to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. All right? So, again, if you have any other questions, talk to us. I know it's hard to like talk about something so heavy and say, get out of here. You know, let's be real. Let's talk about this, whatever it may be. What is your story? I'm going to pray, and please take as much food away from this place, and take it back to your friends and your doormates and all those other cool people out there. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for being very real and very intentional. And Lord, when things like this happen, when there's depression, we question why. All right, even in the Psalms, we even see David. He groans out for help because he's feeling miserable. He's feeling awful, and yet you continue to reveal yourself to us time and time again. Lord, if there's someone in this room that is just really feeling that there's no more hope, may they feel your warmth and love. May you reveal to them that each and every person in this room, is your children, and you love your children, and you'll do anything for your children. And so, Lord, as we move forward, whatever the pain, whatever the anxiousness may be, Lord, help us to know that you are here, and you are real, and you are present. So we give all you glory and thanks to you, for you are good, and your mercy continues to endure forever. Amen.